This is Valor Radio. Valor, strength of mind and spirit that enables a person to face danger with steel-clad resolve and determination in battle or in any other situation. Valor, like that displayed by veterans of every branch of the military throughout our community. This radio show, Valor Radio, salutes all of you who have raised your right hands to volunteer and protect and preserve our unique American way of life. Thanks for joining us and your brothers and sisters in uniform for Valor Radio. Here are your hosts, Colonel Paul Simonelli and Captain Steve Momano. And without reservation, I take great pleasure in bringing on our two wonderful hosts for the most for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coasties, and the Guardians, as well as the civilians serving by their side. First up, Captain Steve Momano of the U.S. Navy.
Hello. Hi.
Hiya, hiya. Yeah. And his wonderfulness, Captain, excuse me, Colonel Paul Simonelli.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing good, Paul.
That's good. Robert, you doing all right?
I'm doing okie dokie for a civilian. All
right. I saw a picture of a friend at the Lilac Festival, and he had a down coat on.
Yeah.
What's going on up there?
Now, if he had a down coat on, he was probably sweating up a storm because it's been typically May cool, like in the 50s, but it's been very rainy, so I don't know about the down coat.
Well, 50s is not. I mean, 50s is iced over.
Well, I know that's subarctic for you, but up here that's practically summer.
Well, all right. So we got to start the show with a sad note. A veteran friend, and Steve, I'm not sure if you knew him or not, from the VFW in Fairport. We've talked about him on the show before. Lieutenant Colonel, retired, Bill Dancy, Jr., passed away this past week.
And we've talked about him. I didn't know him, but I've heard his name mentioned many times.
Yeah. So Bill was, an enigma. I think that's the right term. He was a character. He could make everyone laugh.
Hmm.
He was strong as a bull. And he always got the job done. Spent a lot of years serving with him in the 401st, a lot of training exercises, a lot of trips to ranges and other types of exercises. We deployed to Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm together, and to Bosnia. And through all of that, and some fun trips to Germany, too. Through all of that, Bill was just the one that got stuff done. He was sort of a grunt that, no mundane job, something that you'd look at and say, I don't want to do that. And somehow he'd make it fun and we'd get it done. I remember the frustration we felt going to Desert Storm. We were down at Fort Bragg, now Fort Liberty, and the Army folks that were telling us how to rig our gear so it could be loaded on an aircraft were giving us one set of guidance so we configured all our gear. And then the Air Force guys showed up whose planes they were actually going on, and they said, this isn't going to work, and you need to do it this way. And Bill was in charge of all that, so he said, all right, we'll comply, and did it. The Army folks came back the day later and said, that's not going to work. You need to redo it. And so finally, Bill went and dragged the Air Force guys and the Army guys together and got a meeting of the mind. So the fifth time that we configured our gear, it finally was okay to go to the area before it got loaded on the aircraft.
Beautiful.
But that was sort of his attitude. The rest of us had thrown up our hands. We were cursing. We were mad. We were angry. We're ticked off. Trying to find, at that point, getting ready to go over there, you look for anything you can to get ticked off at. And Bill just ground that out. And that was just typical of how he was.
That's a good officer.
Yeah. And
yeah.
He could find the silver lining.
Right. Because, in the end, we're paid to make decisions and to get results.
And
we're not paid to have drama.
That's right.
Yeah, so good for him. He was a good man. Sounds
he
like.
Was. And, you know.
Sorry to hear he's gone.
Never found him taking sides or anything else. He really just stayed focused on the mission and just plowed ahead.
Yeah.
And it was nice to have him around.
I'll
the
bet.
Other thing is that he constantly made us laugh. Whether he was joking with us or joking with him about himself, you know, he was just very modest guy and just loved cracking jokes about himself and never seemed to be any worse for it.
Mm-hmm.
So he was an armor officer. He had been in the Navy before.
Oh, one of those.
He had worked in naval intelligence before as an enlisted guy.
Really? Wow.
How
do you like that?
Had a degree in rhetoric from the University of Idaho.
Wow. Cool.
Interesting.
That's an
like
eclectic
said,
man.
Interesting
yeah.
guy.
I'll
and
bet.
We're going to miss him. We're going to miss his dancyisms. And as I said on Facebook today, Bill, I know you're up there on table 8 of the gunnery ranges, and you're aiming your smoothbore, fin-stabilized, armor-piercing, sable-discarding tank rounds at whatever target the Lord's putting out there in front of you. So enjoy, and we'll meet on table 8 again someday.
Did you post a picture of him?
I'm sorry?
Did you post a picture of him?
Yes.
I'm going to check it out today. I want to go home.
So anyway, his ceremony is this Thursday or Friday, and so, folks, if you know Bill, it's at Keenan's Funeral Home in Fairport, and the service is on Friday, Thursday afternoon and Friday. So, anyway, let's move on. Steve, I'd asked you if you could, you know, so few of these folks are left. Marine Corps' longest-held Vietnam War POW, Harlan Chapman, just passed away.
Right. I didn't know much about him until I read his bio. And, boy, what an impressive fellow, huh?
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit.
Well, his name is Harlan Chapman. He just died at the age of 89. He was the first Marine Corps officer shot down in Vietnam. He spent 7 years in the Hanoi Hilton, 2,657 total days in captivity. From 1965, when he got shot down, until February 12th, 1973. Can you imagine?
No.
I just can't imagine the grief and the misery that man endured. And yet he was apparently a very cheerful person, and he held no animus against the Vietnamese people. Just an amazing fellow. I didn't know much about him, but I wanted to know, like, what outfit was he with? He was with VF 212, which is an F-8 Crusader squadron, which is, you know, the Crusader, if you didn't know anything about the Crusader, it's like the coolest looking airplane. It's mean looking. It looks like an A-7 with an attitude. It's the last fighter plane in the U.S. military that had, at least the Navy or Marine Corps, that had guns. And my third keg, Air Wing Commander on Coral Sea, was a Crusader guy. And he was weird, a really strange dude. But he used to wear that Crusader patch, and I always remember looking at that thing going, that is a bitchin' patch, man. I wouldn't mind wearing one of those. But he was targeting, on November 5th, 1965, he was targeting a railroad highway bridge, which required a high-speed, low-level approach, which is, you know, you don't want to do when you're up against good anti-aircraft fire. There were 32 jets in the formation pressing onto the target, and Chapman was the last plane. He got hit by the North Vietnamese anti-aircraft fire, and it forced him to eject. I mean, ejecting at that low altitude usually you get killed, but he survived the ejection, and then they had him. I mean, I'm sure he was injured in the ejection. They all are, he was in the Hanoi Hilton for all those years. And he had to learn the TAP code, which they teach us at survival school. And he apparently did it very well. That was his method of communicating with his colleagues. He came home during Operation Homecoming in February 73. And upon his release, this is just blowing me away. As soon as he got released, he came back to the States and they gave him a squadron. He took a squadron, which was, I'm very familiar with, VMFA 314, the Black Knights. They deployed with me on Coral Sea and Air Wing 13 in the 80s. They were still around back then. Out of Marine Corps Air Station El Toro. So he actually went out and did a tour, a full tour as a squadron CO after he spent 7 years in the Hanoi Hilton. What a man.
It's just it's an amazing story.
It is an amazing story.
Perseverance, faith, and thank God we have folks like him
Amen.
Serving our nation. So. All right, I'm hearing some music. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Valor Radio.
Okay, and there's more to come here on WYSL 92.1 FM, 95.5 FM West, and 27,000 watt AM 1040. Advertising from the law office of Christopher Johnson. One ad some injury attorneys inundate you with, what's your case worth? Call us and find out. You know, nobody can tell you, quote, what your case is worth over the phone. Nobody knows. The ultimate answer to, quote, what your case is worth involves weeks or months of research, evaluation, and preparation. Many factors go into any compensation you might get, like applicable law, who's actually at fault, how much insurance coverage there is, and many, many other factors. At the Law Office of Christopher Johnson, the singular focus is getting your life back on track after an accident or injury. That takes money, and it helps when the advice and legal advice you get has a one-on-one focus informed by straight talk. Christopher Johnson Attorney, car, truck, motorcycle accidents, personal injury, and DWI defense. Call 585-415-3803. 585-415-3803.
Hi, I'm Steve Tasker. Over the years, my wife Sarah and I have supported Heritage Christian Services and the work that they do to advance an inclusive and equitable community. Heritage Christian Services and their staff support people with intellectual and developmental disabilities by offering meaningful and diverse experiences. Like us, they believe that people are entitled to dignity, respect, equity, and justice, and that belief is reflected in all that they do. While disability services are what they were founded on, their work extends to offer life-enriching opportunities for people throughout the community through therapeutic writing, health and wellness services, and child care, and more. Now more than ever, Heritage Christian Services needs your support to continue their work. Consider becoming a friend to Heritage Christian like Sarah and I did almost 20 years ago. You can choose to volunteer, share their job opportunities, or make a donation. To learn more, visit heritagechristianservices.org. That's heritagechristianservices.org.
The Livingston County Department of Health reminds you and your family, be sure you're prepared for emergencies by creating your own at-home emergency response plan. Prepare a kit including non-perishable food, water, flashlight, radio, batteries, blankets, and medications to supply you and your family for at least 2 weeks. Place these supplies in a secure place in your home. For more information on emergency preparedness, call the Livingston County Department of Health at 243-7299.
Medicare U on the WYSL stations.
Valor Radio on the WYSL stations is brought to you by A.M. Ginsburg & Associates, the law firm of Christopher Johnson, Taylor Heating and Air, call 500-HELP, Hidden Treasure Self-Storage in Farmington, MGM Insurance, and the National Warplane Museum. Again, we go to the Southern Command, Colonel Paul Simonelli, down in FLA for you on this edition of Valor Radio.
Thanks, Robert. So when did they stop using three-letter abbreviations for states?
I think that was, I was back in the mid-60s sometime.
They
came with and some of the states had longer abbreviations than that. Like Pennsylvania was P-E-N-N-A, PENA.
Hmm. Really?
And why do you feel stuck in that?
Why do we feel stuck in that?
Well, no, because you always say FLA when you're talking about Florida. I just got to give you a hard time, that's all.
Oh, I see. Boy, that's really,
I'm telling you, that's really a reach. You should be a Trump prosecutor.
Oh, I'll tell you what. This has been an amazing 17 days so far. Just
yeah, isn't it, though?
Getting wackier and wackier as it goes.
It truly is. It truly is. This is all going to come to a climax at some point.
You get the feeling that Judge Marchand's reputation is going right in the crapper.
What reputation was that?
Good point.
Well, it depends on what audience you're talking about. The people that he wants to appeal to are probably celebrating him.
Yeah,
well,
both of them.
Even the Dems probably look down their nose at this guy because he's just everything he's doing is he's reaching. It's just such a stretch. Everything he's doing.
I think he should. There should be a directed verdict at the end of the prosecution's case.
Well, there should be. There's no question for the jury. They're getting out as many salacious facts as they can, and they think jurors are dumb, and if they just keep throwing stuff at them, the jury's going to go in there and say, well, I'm not quite sure what it is, but we wouldn't have spent the last 4 weeks listening if there wasn't something, so let's find him guilty.
I agree that the jury knows what's going on, but I think that they're probably willing to be had. That's what I worry about.
Yeah, they don't really care. Their day in the sun.
Yeah, they're gonna get Trump one way or the other.
Yeah, so we'll see. Yeah, there's maybe. No way these charges can be sustained.
No, not an appeal anyway.
I do hold out hope for, you know, the better angels in these jurors.
Absolutely,
we have to. So, $320 million. What do you think?
For what?
That's what the temporary pier in Gaza that the Navy's building cost.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
Now, that's no food, no relief, but a $320 million temporary pier.
It's amazing, isn't it?
And the only food they've got sitting around are 475 pallets, which is nothing.
No, not really, is it?
So, are they going to start using this thing?
And they're going to move this stuff over land part of the way by truck because of this causeway that they got in place. And the food hasn't been moved because of the Israeli operations in Rafah. They're afraid to move it. They're going to get their food blown up or something. So it's just sitting there, 475 pallets of food. And you know, it's humanitarian aid, and everybody's like patting themselves on the back because they're helping humanity, I guess. But you know, in the end, you know, almost the entire population of Gaza relies on humanitarian aid to survive. Isn't that nice to know?
That really tells you something. And the amazing thing was that when the Israeli folks that were living there and had their businesses and and everything else just got up and left. And what year was that? I'm trying to think. Is that 2007? I don't know. But they left them a complete infrastructure in place that they could have turned that place into the Riviera of the Mediterranean.
But they didn't. And they never do. The Palestinians, quote unquote, every chance they get to make something of themselves or turn their life around, they just choose to go back to their rotten past, and they never move forward. They're constantly moving backward, not forward.
Right.
It's unfortunate because they could be, you know, I mean, everybody else in the Middle East, the Jordanians, the Egyptians, they've all moved on, you know, and they've gotten over this whole hatred of Israel thing, and they lead pretty normal existences, but not the Palestinians and not the people of Gaza. That's for sure.
So we'll continue to monitor.
Right.
We saw that the Biden administration has denied Israel arms that were approved by Congress, and he signed off on legislation to give them to him, and now he's holding them back. Many of them being precision weapons, and Now we're trying to tell another country, an ally, how to wage war, because he's done such a good job on foreign affairs over the last 55 years.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, well, remember the reason why Joe Biden was added to the Obama ticket? Because he represented gravitas. Remember?
Yes.
They said that he had diplomat, or he had a statesman-like chops. Can you imagine?
Right. It's another political term that means absolutely nothing unless you're a member of the swamp.
Right. Joe Biden never had diplomatic chops.
Gravitas? The guy's a buffoon.
He's a moron.
He's a buffoon.
He's never been right on any foreign policy issue, ever.
No.
And by the way, the political left agrees with that.
I know. It's funny. Because he never got the time of day from his own people.
He's just a useful household appliance, you know, for Barack Obama to go around and wreak as much havoc as he can while Cloward and Piven cheer him on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sad.
This is a tough time.
Yeah, it's not a good look the way he backed off of helping the Israelis in their hour of need.
Assuming that there's a Democratic convention, do either of your gentlemen think that Biden will survive it?
I'm going to still say no.
Oh, I think he's like the cockroach. He's not going anywhere. He'll dig his heels in because there's nothing else for him to do in this life. And he won't go. They're going to have to physically remove him. And they might.
I think that's, well, they may end up doing that.
Mm-hmm.
25th Amendment.
Yeah, they just might.
I think what you're going to see, I think it's happening behind the scenes that folks have talked to him and he's told them to pound salt.
If the 25th Amendment is not applicable here, I don't know where it ever would be.
I know.
Man, we need to get past all this. We really need to get past all this.
Amen, brother.
On a lighter note, I'm seeing signs that we're sort of crossing over into something better. Did any of you watch Jerry Seinfeld's commencement speech?
No, I didn't watch any of it.
I just saw some, as they say, brief snatches, little cuts from the news.
16 minutes. And I'll tell you what, very measured, but he said, let's get our heads out of our butts. Life's too short. I mean, and we've got to stop this. It's okay to laugh at others. It's okay to laugh at ourselves. And we can't go through life. And, I keep seeing these articles, and I hate to generalize about any group, but they keep saying, as a group, Democrats are unhappy and our liberals are unhappy and conservatives are much happier in their existence.
They are. The left has no sense of humor.
No, they're miserable.
There is no humor section in the liberal library. And by the way, as long as we're talking about comedy here a little bit, it has to be said that comedy, for the most part, the funniest comedy comes at the expense of somebody.
Right.
It's because
all comedy is.
That's because we poke
truth.
Fun, you
there's
know?
Truth at the basis of it.
All comedy is at the expense of someone. So if you're going to outlaw or dissuade folks from doing anything that might cause someone discomfort.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, you're old enough to remember that the old Dean Martin or the old Rose Dean Martin.
Oh, of course.
Oh, gosh.
Weren't they the best? And they were vicious. Don Rickles would get up there and just
they would always recruit somebody like Don Rickles.
I know.
They get the most rapier like wits,
and they would just destroy people. But it was funny, and they all shook hands at the end, and it was great comedy. You got to have that. You just got to be truthful in your comedy.
That's all.
That's what personal impressions are. When you do an impression of Donald Trump or whoever. I mean, that Sean, what's his name? The guy that does Trump. He's brilliant.
Is he?
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So hopefully we're turning a corner. And hopefully Trump's going to be able to pull us around that corner. And we can see better things in the future. All right. It's time to take a break. We'll be back with more Valor Radio in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, while we're at it, let's pray for Trump's safety, for Pete's sake. More to come on Valor Radio on the WYSL stations.
First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is.
From Niagara Falls to the Adirondacks and from Canada to Pennsylvania, you're listening to Valor Radio.
We're back in here with the Colonel and the Captain, and you. Thanks so much for joining us on Valor Radio on the WYSL stations. Again, we go to Florida. That's FL for those of you who are keeping track of state abbreviations. Numbering one that I know of. And here he is, Paul Simonelli.
Thanks, Robert. Speaking of politics, let's start talking about it. Valor Radio is going to be at the Republican convention this year in Milwaukee.
Very cool.
I'm pretty excited about it. I'll be there representing the station.
Cool.
Seeing what information we can bring back to our listeners. I had the privilege of attending in 2016. And
did you?
I have to say, it was a life experience. Looking forward to it. I think it's going to be interesting, if nothing else.
Did you get roughed up on the floor like Dan Rather?
Not at all. I've got to tell you what. I have never been at a function with so many people, so packed in, that people were courteous, respectful, just absolutely, it was a joy to be there.
That's good.
Unbelievably aggressive security, layers and layers of security, and they had, they had a lot of people waiting in case something happened, but all the bad stuff that they thought might happen, you'd have a protester outside the fence, and they got to protest, and like 30 police officers would come up, make a big ring around them, and let them protest. And if people wanted to stop and watch, they could. If they didn't, they didn't have to. But it was obvious Cleveland did a great job, and I'm looking forward to seeing how Milwaukee does this year. But unbelievably interesting experience, and look forward to talking more about it over the next couple months as we get closer to it.
I hadn't thought about it, but I would imagine that the Dems have got all kinds of plans about how they're going to disrupt the Republican convention with Trump. I'm sure that they got something in the can ready to go to make life miserable for Donald J. Trump.
The only way they can try to do anything is to put him in custody.
That will make his poll numbers go up.
Oh yeah.
Right. But the other side of that is I don't know that the Secret Service will let that happen.
That's true, too.
That's a good point.
If I was the director of the Secret Service, am I letting him, I don't care what facility it is, in a facility? Are you kidding me? Could they put him on home confinement in Trump Tower?
Mm-hmm.
They could. And are the New York City corrections people going to fight with the U.S. Secret Service?
Yeah, they would have to have, what's that unit called? They have to set that up like in the next cell. I mean, it would turn a correction facility on its ear.
Yeah, so that's the only way they can keep him is to lock him down someplace. And you know what? If they did that, it would be sheer lunacy what would happen in this country.
Do you get the feeling?
All these people, I don't care what side they're on, that typically sit on the sidelines, that's the end of it right there. If you can do that to a president, and none of us are safe.
I kind of got the feeling, Paul, that last week anyway, that Trump was almost goading that judge to put him in prison, to put him in jail for speaking his mind. That judge kept on telling him, you're this close to getting put in jail. And I think Trump was almost daring him.
No question. He was taunting.
You want to put me in jail? Go right ahead, man. It'd be the worst thing you ever did.
Part of his success at negotiating and getting the results that he's gotten through his life, both in the private sector and in politics, has to do with his willingness to stand up to bullies.
And, yeah. He's from friggin' New
York. And sometimes even be a bully himself.
Yeah. They get the, you know, people forget that this guy made his bones in the Big Apple. And that is no place for shrinking violets.
That's right.
They don't give Trump any credit for having done what he did and to change the skyline of New York in New York. I mean, it's just insane that people think he's some kind of a wuss, you know? I don't understand where that comes from.
Well, listen, he has showed a level of resilience and strength and inner fortitude.
I think so.
That I don't know that maybe Franklin Roosevelt was the only other president that showed that type of strength and inner fortitude over such an extended period of time. And you know, getting through the Depression and into World War II. I really think, whether you liked or what he did or didn't do, but the two of them, is there anybody else in our history? Abe Lincoln? I don't know.
The situation was different with Lincoln. It was a different time. But
right.
Under the constant pressure of, you're right, Roosevelt did have to deal with it for, you know, 12 years or however long it was that he was in the office. And you know, he also dealt with it in earlier life when, you know, in his political life before he got polio or
he was Secretary of the Navy.
Yeah, it was Secretary of the Navy.
It almost seems that people that have been given great adversity at some point in their life, they rise to the occasion when something like this happens. I'm going to make a local example. Bob Morgan, developer.
Yes.
There's a guy that overcame unbelievable adversity after being shot in 1991. And built an empire, an absolute empire. And the feds came after him, and he had the intestinal fortitude to see his way through this. The people like that are few and far between. And so I think we see folks, and Trump is just one of those very, very unique people. Biden is nothing without his entourage. Most of these guys and gals are nothing without, but there's a few individuals in history that stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Trump is going to ultimately be considered one of those folks.
Yeah, it's funny. You notice that when Biden holds events these days, he's surrounded by a crowd of 80, you know, 60 of which are press and staffers. And it's absolutely, it's like watching paint dry. And then at the drop of a hat, Trump pulls 100,000 people to South Jersey.
Isn't that amazing?
Just unbelievable.
My sister called and told me. She goes, "Are you watching TV?" I said, "No." She said, "Trump's got a crowd of like 80,000 people at some event in New Jersey." I'm like, "Yeah, he was going to be in New Jersey. It's already on, and it's got 80,000 people. I put it on. I couldn't believe it."
Yeah, it's like, where did they come from?
I know.
Well, I know it's New York City, but
it's Jersey, for God's sake. And
well, there's a density there. There's a, you know,
right,
the population density, you know, for
in
8 square miles is like 4.5 or 5 million. So,
but people on their day off decided to get in their cars and drive out to the Wildwood and go put their MAGA hats on and be with the Donald.
And they get to see this little speck on a stage, but they're there and they're part of it, and they want to be part of it because they know history.
And Joe Biden will never know what any of that's like.
Right.
No one ever went to a Joe Biden. No more than a couple of thousand people ever went to a Joe Biden event. He never inspired anyone. He can say whatever he wants. He'll never be that.
He represents decades of sleaze in Washington, D.C. Everybody
Absolutely.
Knows it.
And, you know, sometimes things have to get this bad in order
for
change to be effective.
I
so
believe
I'm going to remain
too.
Positive. I'm going to remain, in spite of how difficult things are, I'm going to try to remain positive. Steve, you know, we used up this entire section of the show, and I guess you're not going to have time to talk about the Navy's reusable underwear initiative.
Well, you know, we can save that one. We could definitely save that for later.
We may have to do that.
All right.
All right. We'll talk. We'll be back with more Valor Radio in just a couple of minutes.
I thought all underwear was reusable. Nobody what do I know?
That's why I love you. That's why. Why? Why? Yeah.
Your go-to for standard of specialized business insurance coverage. MGM Associates of Rochester, now serving the region and beyond in New York. Since 1984, MGM has provided leading coverage from a wide range of carriers. Not only home, condo, boat, motorcycle, and auto, but also specialized policies for all types of businesses, including nonprofits and law firms, livery insurance, property insurance, and bonds for all needs. MGM Associates of Rochester provides auto, workers' comp, health care, and liability coverage. Choose from virtual appointments or good old in-office, in-person consults by appointment at our Penfield office. Five-time consecutive winner of the National Best Practices Award, MGM is proud to support veterans groups. For your personal, business, home, or professional insurance needs, meet the experienced staff at MGM Associates. Locally and proudly owned at 1745 Penfield Road in Penfield, 381-7008, or mgminsure.com. An associate of United Frontier Mutual Insurance, 190 Davison Road, Lockport, New York.
Your stuff deserves a better home. That's why you need to store with confidence at Hidden Treasures Self-Storage in Farmington. Units are safe and secure in a variety of sizes. At Hidden Treasures, there are no locks, no keys, no combinations. Bluetooth locks are controlled by your cell phone. Get 50% off your first month. Convenient to everywhere on Loomis Road in Farmington. Close to the thruway. Get peace of mind when you stow your stuff at Hidden Treasures Self-Storage.
It's the Geneseo Air Show, July 13th and 14th. F-22 Raptor, B-17, B-25s, Warhawk, Hurricane, Spitfire, Mustangs. It's not too early to buy tickets. See NationalWarplaneMuseum.com.
Baseball, hot dogs, and the American flag. They're all part of the rich fabric that makes our country great. Show your American spirit by purchasing your flag from the Stars and Stripes Flag Store today. When you do, you are supporting critically needed services for local veterans at the Veterans Outreach Center. Let's show our veterans that we care by placing our nation's symbol on the porch of every house in our community. The Stars and Stripes Flag Store, 783 South Avenue.
From Niagara Falls to the Adirondacks and from Canada to Pennsylvania, you're listening to Valor Radio.
Thanks for joining us here on Valor Radio. We have Colonel Paul Simonelli in the Florida studios right now. Captain Steve Amano has some things to tell us about.
Paul and Bob, I wanted to just give the audience a little bit of heads up on something that's going to be happening at Memorial Day this year, as far as I know. They're planning to install an addendum or a supplement, if you will, to the War Memorial Honor Roll, the wall, that has all the names of the World War II casualty, the killed in action, the lost in the line of duty folks from World War II. For years, I had wondered why certain things about the wall were not quite right, and I wanted to do some research. And I spent 6 years actually doing research on the casualties of the war, and I wanted to know how many died from Monroe County, and I came up with a number about around 1,300 guys and a couple of women that were killed in World War II or died in the line of duty. And the War Memorial folks were good enough to be interested in looking at possibly adding some names that weren't originally enshrined in bronze on the wall. And I wanted to list some names here and talk about some fellas who I think are going to be on that. I'm not absolutely sure who's going to be on it yet. But as far as I'm concerned, these folks were not included initially, but there are boys. There are sons of Monroe County and Rochester, and I wanted to talk about them if I could. PFC Albert J. Bellinger, U.S. Army. He was 25 years old. He was an infantryman with Company A, 1st Battalion, 134th Infantry Regiment, 35th Infantry Division. He was killed in action 9 December 44 in France, killed attempting to cross the Saar River Bridge. Despite being listed by War Department in the National Archives as the son of Niagara and Erie counties, his own regiment had him living at 511 Glide Street, Rochester, and the 1940 census confirmed he and his wife resided at 195 Laburnum Crescent in Rochester. He also was listed in the 1942 city directory at 29 Hampton Boulevard in Greece. He's buried in Woodlawn National Cemetery in Elmira. Private Frank Bernard Cooper, U.S. Army Air Force, was 22 years old. He's with Headquarters Squadron, 18th Bombardment Wing, and he was killed in action on 7 December 41 at Hickam Field, Oahu, territory of Hawaii. He's buried at Mount Hope Cemetery, and he left behind a large family locally and a wife and a baby living in Columbia, South Carolina. He was posthumously awarded the Purple Heart. Staff Sergeant James C. Cuminali, U.S. Army, was 25 years old. He was an infantryman with 301st Infantry Regiment, 94th Infantry Division. He died of wounds 7 February 45 in Germany. His mother lived at 1927 Culver Road. He attended Washington High School, and he's buried at Luxembourg American Cemetery in Luxembourg. And he left behind a large family locally and a wife. I'm sorry, and a wife. Fireman First Class Norman Francis Daly, U.S. Navy, was 19 years old. He was ship's company aboard USS Duncan, DD-485. He was killed in action 12 October 42 in the Pacific off the island off Savo Island during the Battle of Cape Esperance. He was in a running gun battle with the Japanese cruiser Furutaka. His body was never recovered. He's memorialized at the ABMC tablets in Manila, and his wife lived at 128 Wetmore Park in Rochester. Staff Sergeant Raymond M. Crossman, U.S. Army, was 27. He was with the 81st Cavalry Reconnaissance Squadron, Mechanized, 1st Armored Division. He died of wounds 31 March 45 in Italy. He was formerly of 332 Cedarwood Terrace, Rochester. He enlisted in the Canadian Army in 1940 and was wounded twice overseas, once in North Africa and once in Italy, in the Canadian Army. He's buried at Florence American Cemetery in Italy. Harold R. Ebner was a Tech 5 in the U.S. Army Signal Corps. He was with 6th Armored Infantry Regiment, 1st Armored Division. There was a finding of death on 8 November 42 in North Africa. He was lost during the amphibious landing in that campaign. His body was not recovered. He is memorialized at the ABMC tablets in Carthage, Tunisia, and his next of kin, his parents, lived at 105 Salem Road, Irondequoit. He's claimed as a son of Lake County, Ohio, but census data had him living at Salem Road with his parents, where his parents stayed during the war. Local papers covered the posthumous award of his Bronze Star and Purple Heart, which were delivered to his mom in Irondequoit. Lieutenant Junior Grade Casey Carl Ferrante, U.S. Navy, was killed in action 22 June 43 in the Pacific. His body was either never recovered or it was buried at sea. I wasn't able to find out. He's memorialized at the ABMC tablets in Hawaii, and he's a member of St. Michael's Parish. He was a member. His parents lived at 265 Avenue A in Rochester. And finally, Corporal Roderick Harrison Dick Howfelter was 21 years old. He was Corporal U.S. Marine Corps Reserve. He was a rifleman with Company H, 3rd Battalion, 29th Marine Regiment, 6th Marine Division. He was killed in action 18 May 45 in Okinawa, Japan. He's on the Navy Department's list for Monroe County with an address of 31 Howell Street, where he lived with his sister. And he's claimed by Walcott, New York, because he attended Leavenworth High School, Walcott. But he was subsequently employed by Gleason Works prior to enlisting in the Marine Corps, and he's posthumously awarded the Silver Star and the Purple Heart.
Thank you, Captain.
Absolutely.
Colonel?
That's, folks, I just have to tell you something here. those names are in this memorial are only being corrected because of Steve. And we all know that anything the government does usually doesn't turn out perfect. But Steve is owed a tremendous amount of credit for this effort. He told you 6 years, and this is not easy stuff to do. And whether or not there's still family members for any of these folks out there, and really doesn't matter at this point, because it's part of our local history, and Steve's done wonders to make our history just a little bit more accurate. Steve, thank you for the effort.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. You know, I actually have had a chance to talk to family members of folks who were killed during the war, brothers and sisters of folks who were killed. And they just are just happy that they can remember their siblings in a proper way, because they just didn't want them forgotten. And I swore when I started this project that my main goal was to make sure that people knew their names. You know, it's important that we know their names.
It surely is.
Especially the ones who have been left off of the memorial to date.
Right.
There are more. I mean, there were several dozen of them. So I'm anxious to see how it ended up. Some of them I had to take them, remove them for different reasons, but all of them were in the mix. They were important people, and they're loved by many communities. And I was very cognizant of stealing somebody just to put them on our list. I didn't want to do that. I wanted them to go where they would want to have been remembered.
Well, once again, thank you, Steve.
Absolutely.
And, it really does matter, and we can never do enough to make sure that...
Well, I want to thank Valor Radio for being the forum for me to bring these names out. And, you know, I always wish more than anything that somebody who knew these folks would shoot us a note and just let us know, yeah, I grew up with that guy, and he was a wonderful person, and I've had some other people tell me, you know, that they knew them, and it mattered to me. It really does.
I would just also additionally throw out there, if you're listening to this program and you know of someone, maybe you don't have a direct connection, but you know of someone, please point them to the podcast and have them get in contact with us, because
we
want to make sure that everybody knows.
You know, one of the reasons why I always try and put their address where they lived is because I want people who are out there who live on Wetmore Park or, Deland B, Fairport, or whatever that address is, I want them to remember where these guys lived. And they may be living in their house. They may not even know that, you know, that these boys who were killed on the Arizona lived here in Gates, in this little house, which is still there. So,
all right. Well,
and happy Memorial Day, or a blessed Memorial Day, whatever you want to say.
Right. We've got a little bit before that, but... Yeah. We'll talk more about it next week. Steve, thank you. Robert, thank you. We do this for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coasties, and Guardians, their families, and those serving with them. Let's keep them in our prayers and in our thoughts. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week on Valor Radio.
Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money. There's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory. I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be.